It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. On your mark, get set. Go.
Thanksgiving, here I am.
That is our top story at noon. Despite the COVID warnings, millions of Americans on the move today.
We're not going to go ahead and let the virus get in the way of our holidays. We're going to go just as usual.
I don't mind it.
Do you think people should be traveling?
Today expected to be the busiest travel day since March when the pandemic began. This woman driving to see her parents in Connecticut.
It was a really difficult decision to make, and it's made me think real long and hard about it.
The increase in travel comes on the heels of one of the deadliest days of the virus yet, 2,100 COVID deaths reported on Tuesday, the most since May. Today in L.A., a three-week ban on in-person dining began. This restaurant owner says she will not survive.
I'm worried about paying my rent. I'm worried about paying my bills. These business owners have invested their entire life savings, everything that they have, into these businesses.
In New York City, it's a quarantine crackdown as 19 checkpoints went up at bridges and tunnels all across the Big Apple to make sure isolation orders are being followed ahead of the holiday weekend. Hope on the horizon. That is the other big story at noon.
We give thanks for the vaccines and therapies that will soon end the pandemic.
As the transition begins for a new administration in January, the CDC says a COVID-19 vaccine is just a few weeks away.
The vaccine is going to begin to be rolled out probably by the end of the second week in December.
CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield.
Initially in a hierarchical way, nursing home residents, and then some combination of healthcare providers and individuals at high risk.
And while millions of Americans are expected to get the vaccine under President Trump, the incoming president says he'll have a game plan too.
The administration has set up a rollout how they think it should occur. We'll look at that and we may alter that.
Joe Biden says the nation's governors will make the decisions on how each state will get the vaccine. Regardless of the timeline for when and how that happens, Dr. Manny Alvarez at Hackensack University in New Jersey says this is good news.
The whole story about vaccine is a positive one, not only from the discoveries, from the efficacy of over 90%. And now we're going to get into the process of distribution and giving the vaccine.
Dr. Alvarez says the nation could see herd immunity because of the vaccine by next May. What can Brown do for you? Correspondent Jim Krasula says Brown is making plans to deliver the COVID vaccine.
UPS says it has started making dry ice and will provide portable super cold freezers to its healthcare customers as it gets ready for the massive distribution of COVID-19 vaccines. UPS is producing dry ice at its World Hub in Louisville, Kentucky, and can ship it next day to hospitals and clinics in the U.S. and Canada.
That's Jim Krasula reporting. President-elect Joe Biden unveiling some of his top cabinet picks yesterday, but critics say the nominees and appointees are just carryovers from a failed foreign policy under President Obama.
A lot of these people were responsible, for instance, for advising him to go to war in Libya. Look at ISIS. Rise of ISIS happened after Barack Obama rushed us out of Iraq.
Arkansas Senator Tom Cotton says from the Mideast to the Far East, Joe Biden's national security and foreign policy teams will take the U.S. backward. Not forward.
This is the same group that said that you could never have a separate peace between Israel and Arab nations without resolving the Palestinian question. There's so many peace deals that President Trump has brokered between Israel and Arab nations, it's hard to keep track of them. And that's to say nothing of China. People like Jake Sullivan have said we should be celebrating the rise of China. It was on the watch of so many of these nominees that China literally built islands out of the water in the South China Sea and militarized them.
Joe Biden, though, brushing off criticism that most of his cabinet picks presided over a failed foreign policy under President Obama.
This is not a third Obama term because we face a totally different world than we faced in the Obama-Biden administration. President Trump has changed the landscape. It's become America first. We spent America alone.
The president-elect says the team he's assembled will restore trust in the U.S. both at home and abroad. Sources close to President Trump say the commander-in-chief will pardon his former national security advisor, Michael Flynn.
They believe Michael Flynn was railroaded, and there's a lot of evidence to support that.
Byron York at the Washington Examiner says no one in Washington, D.C. has been treated worse than Michael Flynn.
A lot of Republicans would like to see President Trump just end the whole thing with a pardon. This has happened before. I would not be surprised to see it happen again.
Michael Flynn was charged with lying to the FBI as part of the Russia probe this past spring. The Justice Department moved to drop all charges. Flynn's case now tied up in legal limbo. They're bitter political enemies, but on this one, they do agree. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo says President Trump has been grossly mistreated by the mainstream media.
The way they question President Trump at some of these press conferences is just, I've never heard that tone with the president. There are reporters who just are unprofessional, don't know the facts, and ask really biased questions.
Cuomo recently had his own dust up with a reporter when they got into a shouting match over COVID-related school closings in New York City. Andrew Cuomo in Rochester, New York today, helping to hand out Thanksgiving turkeys at a local church. Black Friday, the traditional start of the holiday shopping season, will look and feel a whole lot different this year.
Many companies started offering deals earlier than ever this year. A projected 33% spike in e-commerce is expected to strain fulfillment centers and shipping carriers. And experts say consumers are also expected to buy what they're calling guilt gifts this year, treating themselves and their loved ones for having such a rough year.
That is reporter Nicole Comstock putting together that Thanksgiving spread will cost you a little less this year. The Farm Bureau Federation says the classic Thanksgiving feast will cost just $4.69 per person. That's down 20 cents from last year.
The price of the turkey came in at $1.21 per pound. That was down 7% from what we saw last year.
John Newton at the Farm Bureau says most grocery stores are pricing turkeys low in order to get shoppers through the door. Still to come this Wednesday, Buffalo gets ready for red. Rochester wallows in orange. And the Grinch, that is COVID.
Well, good afternoon. Heading toward your Thanksgiving holiday, we've got some mild but moist conditions to talk about. I'll be back with the complete forecast coming up. We'll see you in 10 minutes.
Thank you, Kevin Williams, checking the stories, making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania, Wednesday, November 25th. New York Governor Andrew Cuomo in Rochester, New York. Right now, he's handing out Thanksgiving turkeys at a local church, and he's updating the COVID crisis in the Empire State.
We're going to see an increase post-Thanksgiving. We expect that. That is going to take a bad situation and make it worse.
The governor says because of all the travel taking place over the Thanksgiving holiday, the state can expect to see a spike in cases in about 10 days.
How much do the numbers go up over Thanksgiving? Nobody knows. It depends on how people perform.
As for a potential COVID-19 vaccine, Cuomo says it'll be several months before New Yorkers will start getting it. Businesses in Buffalo getting ready for a potential shutdown if the Queen City goes to the red zone in the governor's color-coded micro-cluster action initiative.
And I think that we've all been preparing. We've all had it in the back of our minds. This is a possibility, especially, you know, after it happened in March.
We've decided what we're going to do in case of, you know, the red zone. Sales are not going to be what we're used to this time of year, but we're going to make the best of it.
Buffalo Mayor Byron Brown telling folks to shop local this holiday season to help out the small businesses that have been decimated because of the pandemic.
Shop small businesses in Buffalo online, particularly now if we go into red, online shopping is going to be very important.
In fact, more and more local businesses going online this holiday season. in order to stay open.
We've always had a website, Thin Ice, and a lot of the other businesses, I know if they didn't, they do now. And so, you know, hopefully everybody's just focusing on that.
Any good businessman or businesswoman would assimilate and kind of figure out what to do. And I feel like we've done that for sure.
Much of Buffalo in the orange zone, which means just high-risk businesses are closed. In a red zone, though, all non-essential businesses would be forced to close their doors during the busiest shopping time of the year. Well, Buffalo grapples with the possibility of moving to red, much of nearby Rochester sitting in orange.
We're, you know, in the orange zone, and down the street, Pittsburgh, where the line is, they're open.
Carl DiLiberto at the 12 Corners Barber Shop in Brighton has had to close his doors.
But you can go down the street and go to a restaurant, and you can get a haircut 2 miles away.
If I was 100 yards, I'll probably be closed.
George Mastro Simone runs the Winton Place Barber Shop just a mile away. He gets to stay open. A lot of business owners in the greater Rochester region say the shutdown orders make absolutely no sense. Less than 1,000 SUNY students tested positive for COVID ahead of the Thanksgiving break. Officials at the State University of New York say over 150,000 tests were done this month with a positivity rate of less than 1%. SUNY announced earlier this fall that any student who tested positive for the virus could not go home for Thanksgiving. A lot of educational experts, though, say that's impossible to enforce. More than 1,500 Pennsylvania dairy farmers getting financial help in the midst of the pandemic.
Pennsylvania being the seventh-ranked dairy state in the nation, we obviously know the importance of dairy here in Pennsylvania. So anything we can do to help our dairy farmers out, we'll gladly try and do it. And this was the way we were able to do that, to help them be able to recoup some of the costs that they incurred by having to dump milk this spring.
State Senator Elder Vogel says over $7.5 million will go to farmers all across the Commonwealth who are suffering economic hardships because of COVID. Well, forget the Grinch. It's COVID-19 that's stealing Christmas this year at the Pennsylvania Capitol. Family Life's Terry Diener.
The pandemic has led to a decision to cancel this year's carrying on of the tradition of having a tall evergreen adorned with more than 1,500 handmade ornaments and hundreds of brilliant LED lights parked for weeks in the Capitol Rotunda. Instead, a lighted tree with a star on top that sits outside on the steps leading up to the Capitol's front entrance, and another tree behind the Capitol in Soldiers Grove will be the only symbols marking the holidays this year. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. New York may permanently expand voting by mail, a move many Republicans fear will make the deep blue state that much more of a Democrat stronghold. Election officials in Albany also acting to speed up the counting of absentee ballots. 3 weeks after the 2020 vote, there are still several state contests and a few congressional races that have yet to be called because of those absentee ballots. The 125th annual Turkey Trot set to go Thanksgiving Day in Buffalo.
YMCA Buffalo Niagara will celebrate its 125th annual Turkey Trot two ways this year amid the coronavirus pandemic. A virtual race will give registered participants the option to run, jog, or walk anytime between Thanksgiving Day and Sunday, November 29th. The live event happening on Thanksgiving Day features 125 randomly selected participants to uphold the YMCA Turkey Trot's reign as the oldest continually run foot race in North America. Dee Haley, Family Life News.
Thank you, Dee. For the past 3 months, bus drivers at the Owego Apalachin School District near Binghamton have been dropping off much more than just students. They've been delivering meals to more than 200 kids who are homebound because of the pandemic.
The drivers here at Owego Apalachin, I'm going to tell you, are some of the most dedicated people you're ever going to find. They genuinely care about all the kids and all the families of this community.
Tony Quaronta is in charge of the buses in the district. Aaron Nichols works at the school.
Families are so appreciative of our deliveries. I mean, it's a week's worth of food that we're delivering in one day.
The drivers deliver the meals every Wednesday to kids in need. Since September, the bus drivers at Owego Apalachin have delivered more than 180,000 meals all throughout Tioga County. Food, family, football. Cannot wait for tomorrow. It is sunny time. Your 2 minute drill.
Yeah, a lot of eyes on the Thanksgiving night game between the Baltimore Ravens and the Pittsburgh Steelers. The Ravens keeping their team facility closed due to COVID-19. The team announced all activities virtual yesterday as they get ready to travel to Pittsburgh Thanksgiving night. The Athletic reports the move comes after the Ravens learned of more positive tests yesterday. The Dallas Cowboys are confirming the hospitalization of strength and conditioning coach Marcus Paul. The team said Paul suffered a medical emergency yesterday morning at the Star in Frisco and is being treated. The family asking for prayer. Peyton Manning and Charles Woodson among 25 modern era finalists up for the Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2021. Manning, Woodson, Jared Allen, and Calvin Johnson, all first-year eligible players up for election. Other notable names on the list include John Lynch, Hines Ward, Clay Matthews, and Patrick Willis. Finalists will be announced at a later date, and the class of 2021 will be revealed the week leading up to Super Bowl 55 in Tampa, Florida. The Miami Heat locking up big man Bam Adebayo with a maximum contract, 5 years, $195 million. New Orleans Pelicans locking up forward Brandon Ingram with a maximum contract, 5 years, $158 million. Of course, he came over from the Lakers in the Anthony Davis trade in July 19. Alabama, Notre Dame, Clemson, and Ohio State are the top four teams in the first edition of this year's college football playoff rankings. The Crimson Tide earned the top spot after starting the season 7-0. Saturday's Big Ten showdown between 20th-ranked Wisconsin and Minnesota in Madison canceled due to COVID-19. It's Wisconsin's third game that's been canceled due to the pandemic, meaning they are ineligible for the Big Ten championship. College basketball exploding tonight with action. WVU hosting South Dakota State, Pitt hosting St. Francis. The Penn State Drexel and Buffalo Gannon games canceled due to COVID. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
Okay, Sonny, still to come on this Wednesday edition of the Noon Report. America on the move ahead of the Thanksgiving holiday. What was that first Thanksgiving like 400 years ago? And Rockefeller, the owl, now back home.
The worldview of materialism is proving more and more to not be big enough in what we're learning about the universe. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. When Christians use the term free will, it's often in a discussion about divine sovereignty and predestination. Whether we choose God or God chooses us has been at the center of theological debates for centuries. On the other hand, when the term free will is used by evolutionary biologists, it's over whether choice itself is real or whether it's just an illusion that's produced by our brains. Materialists have long insisted, because they kind of have to, that human actions and decisions are determined, not free. In other words, we think we make real choices as humans, but we don't. Our choices are really just the inevitable outcomes of a whole chain of material causes that go back like falling dominoes all the way to the Big Bang. This idea is called determinism. Evolutionary biologist Jerry Coyne, who runs a popular blog called Why Evolution is True, has long held this view. As he puts it, our choices and behaviors are the result of the laws of physics. Given our chemistry, the arrangement of the atoms in our brains, and outside forces that act upon us, we just can't help doing what we do. Well, obviously, determinism does quite a number on things like meaning and moral responsibility, among other things. Determinism is the unavoidable conclusion if you start with the assumption that the world is only a place of natural causes and processes. However, if you start with the evidence, it's another matter altogether. For example, neurosurgeon Michael Egnor points out at Mind Matters that quantum physics suggests we do not live in a deterministic universe. As early as the mid-60s, in fact, physicists had devised experiments that strongly suggested that nature does not determine every event beforehand. While Jerry Coyne seems to be recognizing the implications of quantum physics for his determinism view, he has chosen to double down rather than admit that the framework is flawed. Reviewing a PBS video entitled "Can Free Will Be Saved in a Deterministic Universe?", Coyne reiterates his belief that our sense of having free choice is just an illusion. Quote, "We could not have done other than what we did at any moment in time, and except for the action of any quantum events, the future is completely determined by the past." Wait, did you catch that? In other words, Coyne's determinism applies everywhere in the universe except for quantum events. other than an undetermined variable that influences literally every physical process in the whole universe, everything else is determined, he says. Well, Michael Egnor responded with a personal challenge to coin. What in nature isn't the action of quantum events? Certainly every event in the brain is quantum in nature. Every brain state, every bit of protein synthesis or ion flow is the consequence of quantum events. And because all quantum events are non-deterministic, then all brain states are non-deterministic. And the free will deniers claim that nature is deterministic falls to pieces. Now look, all of that physics jargon is making a very important worldview point. In a Christian worldview, human attitudes and human actions are not just morally significant, they're central to what it means to be made in the image of God. We're not mere effects of material causes. It is because our minds are not mere emanations of our brains that we can talk about right and wrong as real concepts and hold people accountable for their actions. This is one of those things we just can't not know about ourselves. Our thoughts, our decisions, our beliefs are morally meaningful. They're not predetermined. Anyone who is determined to deny this must assume their denial wasn't determined. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Busy travel day today. Let's get to it. Meteorologist Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast for those who may be traveling ahead of Thanksgiving. We have no winter weather woes at all. A couple of years ago, Thanksgiving around our area included record cold and snow. We've got some mild air ahead, but it will be moist as a disturbance brings some rain as we head into the rest of the day and night from west to east, and some showers and drizzle on Thanksgiving Day. But for this afternoon, generally cloudy. Rainfall returns to western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, milder than yesterday with high temperatures near 50. Occasional rain tonight into tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, 40s tonight, 50s tomorrow. Friday, mostly cloudy, maybe a sprinkle with high temperatures in the mid-40s to the middle-50s.
All right, Kevin Williams, appreciate it. If you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Wednesday, November 25th. Well, despite COVID warnings to stay home this Thanksgiving, millions of Americans on the move today.
We're not going to go ahead and let the virus get in the way of our holidays. We're going to go just as usual, make sure that we have a good gathering with our families that we so love.
I wouldn't have chosen to drive right now, but we kind of had to for family. Gotcha. It was their deal, so we had to come, you know.
Correspondent Chris Van Cleve continues.
AAA expects up to 50 million people will go somewhere for Thanksgiving this year. The CDC is urging folks, if they do that, to wear a mask when they're around people they don't live with, particularly indoors.
In L.A. today, all in-person dining has been banned for the next 3 weeks. Checkpoints going up in New York City to make sure folks are following isolation orders. Well, travel could be disrupted for millions of Americans today, not because of COVID, but because of the weather.
We have rain that's falling across Texas and also across the Ohio and Tennessee Valley. That is going to be heading towards the east, so watch out for some flight delays, especially in the eastern half of the nation from today until tomorrow.
That is forecaster Jeff Berardelli. The cleanup meantime continues today in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, where a tornado touched down last night. Joe Biden has introduced his nominees and appointees to some top foreign policy and national security posts. Correspondent Steve Dorsey says it is an experienced group.
All of the nominees have extensive backgrounds working in the Obama administration and will return to Washington with a familiar leader.
This team has secured some of the most defining national security and diplomatic achievements in recent memory.
They include the first woman nominated to serve as Director of National Intelligence, Avril Haines.
You value the perspective of the intelligence community.
And UN Ambassador nominee, Linda Thomas-Greenfield, who's hopscotched around the world in the Foreign Service.
There's promise in our dreams.
Steve Dorsey, Washington.
Faith under fire. California Governor Gavin Newsom banning churches from congregating during the pandemic. Matt Staver at Liberty Council says it's much worse than you think.
If you even meet with more than one person in any church in these no worship zones, and it covers much of California, it is a criminal penalty, up to a year in prison and a daily fine of $1,000.
Staver says no state in the country is harder on places of worship than the state of California.
And it not only applies to churches, it applies even if you're in your apartment or your private home, if you have a Bible study or a worship with someone who doesn't live there, it's criminal in California. It's unbelievable.
Staver says with suicide rates spiking and depression at an all-time high in this country because of shutdowns associated with the pandemic, now is not the time to be shutting down church. Che Yan, senior pastor at the Harvest Rock Church in Pasadena, California.
People are depressed. The suicide rates are off the charts. Domestic violence is increasing. People need spiritual encouragement, emotional encouragement, and also mental encouragement. And I believe that the church provides that, and we have been essential for 2,000 years.
Pastor Yan now asking the U.S. Supreme Court to intervene in California. Former Maryland Congressman John Delaney has proposed paying people $1,500 to get the COVID-19 vaccine. Delaney says the funds could act as a second stimulus check and would incentivize the vaccine. A recent Siena College poll shows 70% of New Yorkers would get the vaccine once it becomes available. We are coming up on 25 minutes past the hour. Next at noon, a conversation with a Mayflower descendant. Family Life's Tracy Lynn recently sat down with Lee Filson, who shares some stories about what that first Thanksgiving was like 400 years ago.
If you could just tell us how faith and maybe persecution prompted the separatists to come to the New World in the first place.
Well, the separatists in England were being punished a great deal for worshiping in their own way and not following the rules of the Anglican Church. They believed that they should be able to worship from within and not follow the rule of law of bishops and all of that. So after being persecuted, run out of their town, taking a lot of horrible things, they escaped and made their way to Leiden in the Netherlands. They lived first in Amsterdam for a year, then moved on to Leiden. And they were in Leiden for about 12 years before they decided to go to the New World. And they decided to do that because Spain was getting ready to attack Leiden and the Netherlands, and they were afraid that religious persecution would happen all over again. So they decided to make their way for the New World.
And what would you say is the legacy of the pilgrims that we can learn from today?
First of all, we need to remember that they're America's family. They helped found this country. They were the first to arrive, fully intact families with little children, wives, ready just to settle a new village to grow and prosper in. That was unusual because always before it had only been people coming to hunt and trap, and there were lots of problems associated with that. But the pilgrims did come, and they stopped along the way in Provincetown Harbor, and they wrote the compact, which is now known as the Mayflower Compact. And that was a self-governance document that also created religious freedom that later really did influence democracy. So it's a very, very important piece of work for our country. The Harvest Festival that they had for 3 days with the Wampanoags influenced today's Thanksgiving. It's the symbol that was used for Thanksgiving because they were thankful. They were thankful that they helped each other. They were thankful that they had a good harvest. And most of all, they were thankful that they survived. Only half of them survived.
They really modeled facing hardship and being thankful despite it.
Yes, they did.
Since we're speaking about what the pilgrims and the natives ate, did they actually have turkey and pumpkin pie like we do?
Well, they did have turkey. We don't really know if they had pumpkin pie, but they might have because there was pumpkin available at that time. But the turkey they would have had, along with lots of other fowl and venison and fish, that turkey to us would have been horrendous because it would have been wild turkey and it would have been gristly and it would have been hard to chew and not at all what we're used to at our table each year.
So we can enjoy our juicy, plump turkeys and know that our dear ancestors didn't get that luxury.
Yes, that's true. They didn't have many luxuries. It was tough living back then, and thanks to them, over 10 million of us in this country have Mayflower descendancy if you're just willing to do your genealogy and find it.
Lee, our culture seems to devalue history today. Why is it important for us to celebrate and remember key milestones like the landing of the Mayflower?
I'm really glad you brought that up, honestly, Tracy, because you're right. It seems like right now the trend is to look at history and always find everything that was wrong about it and criticize and blame, etc. But, you know, I think that the Pilgrims and the Wampanoags are a huge example to all of us because they did have a 50-year peace alliance that they kept until the following generation. And I think that would have been a model to follow, which unfortunately was not by all of the other English colonists and the warring tribes that came after that. And I just think that history is so important to look at the good parts as well as the bad parts. And we have to fix the bad parts as best we can and tell accurate stories. For the good parts, we need to cherish them because this is a really great country that we have here.
One of your ancestors, at least one of your ancestors, was a part of the Mayflower Crossing. Why do you think listeners need to know about Plymouth and the recreated ship that people can see there?
Well, I think if you come to Plymouth, Massachusetts, you can visit the ship. You can walk on the actual land where the Pilgrims lived, and you can see where their meeting house was built. And then you can even go out to Plymouth Patuxent Museums and see reenactments of both villages, as well as visiting the ship itself. Being a descendant, I actually have 8 of them, Tracy, through different lines in my family that were all on the Mayflower, but that's not unusual.
Wow.
Most people who are descendants have more than one because they enter married so much. But coming to Plymouth is important for everybody because it doesn't really matter if you're a Mayflower descendant. If you do genealogy, you learn who your people are and you learn who you are and why you have some of the traits that you have. But coming here kind of brings all that to life and helps you understand why we call this America's hometown.
Fascinating conversation. That is Mayflower descendant Lee Filson speaking with our own Tracy Lynn about what that first Thanksgiving was like 400 years ago.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast for those who may be traveling ahead of Thanksgiving. We have no winter weather woes at all. A couple of years ago, Thanksgiving around our area included record cold and snow. We've got some mild air ahead, but it will be moist as a disturbance brings some rain as we head into the rest of the day and night from west to east, and some showers and drizzle on Thanksgiving Day. But for this afternoon, generally cloudy. Rainfall returns to western New York and northwest Pennsylvania, milder than yesterday with high temperatures near 50. Occasional rain tonight into tomorrow, Thanksgiving Day, 40s tonight, 50s tomorrow. Friday, mostly cloudy, maybe a sprinkle with high temperatures in the mid-40s to the middle 50s.
All righty, Kevin Williams finally at noon back home in his own habitat. Family Life's Brandon Dixon has more on Rockefeller. The owl.
Rockefeller, the tiny brown and white speckled owl, wound up in New York City after inadvertently traveling from Oneonta to Manhattan aboard this year's Rockefeller Center Christmas tree. The bird was released back into its natural habitat last night. Rocky had been staying at a wildlife center since early last week after workers found the fowl among the 75-foot-tall Norway spruce's massive branches. The feathered creature has become a viral sensation since her heartwarming tale went on social media. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Safe and sound back home. Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Wednesday. As always, thanks for coming along. Have a safe and a happy Thanksgiving, won't you? I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.